All right, tonight we're in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, I believe it is. What do we find in Acts chapter 16? Well, starting in verse 1, it says, "Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him to go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily." Now, we have Paul going out through the region. And this is what I want you to see. As he goes through these cities, he's telling them about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the things that they are to keep. And the Bible says they were strengthened in their faith and increased number daily. Now, I want you to see, look at verse 14. "A certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' So she persuaded us." All right, I want you to see this woman first, her testimony. Lydia was the Bible says, a woman that had a open heart to the gospel. She was lost, I believe. She was without Christ, successful in the city, a seller of purple. She was wealthy, I believe, but she didn't know Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight and you're wealthy and all of that, it will not get you to heaven. Your wealth will not. Jesus is the only way, as the song says. Lydia was prosperous. What she did, God blessed. She was prestigious. I have a feeling that this woman, when running in the social circles, she was with the elite society where she was. And she was probably one of the best dressed ladies in that town. She was all what most women would want to be. But she was without Christ. And how do I know that? The Bible simply says the Lord opened her heart. You see, it says whose heart the Lord openeth. Now, even though you may be coming to church, I want you to see this. Even though you're going to church, you can still leave lost, because the Lord is the one who opens the door of salvation to you. People tell me all the time, "Well, one of these days, preacher, one of these days, I'm going to get saved." And you know, I hope they do. But they can't count on that, can they? Only if the Lord opens their heart can they get saved. And that's the divine side of salvation, folks. Now, I believe when someone is looking for the Lord, someone is really searching for God, he'll open that door for them. You see, that's the way God works. But I want you to notice that Paul opened the word to Lydia, but God is the one who opens the heart. Salvation always begins with God. You see, God takes the initiative for salvation in our life. And I want you to understand that. And that's part of chapter 16. As they go through these towns, they're meeting these people that need to come to Jesus Christ. And Lydia is one of those that are, I believe, was searching for God. And God came to her in salvation. So tonight, I don't know why you came to church. I hope you came to for a stirring. Maybe you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've got a longing for Christ. You're religious, supposedly. You may be all of these things. But if you have a longing for Jesus Christ and you have a wanting to be saved, tonight may be that night that God is saying, okay, I'm opening the door through this passage of Scripture. Here's a woman just like you. She wants to know Jesus Christ. So I'm opening the door for you. If there's a stirring in your heart, verse 14 says, she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. You see, that is, well, the divine side of salvation is God opens the door for you. All right? The human side of salvation is there's an intent desire to hear the word of God in her heart. Now, that's the human side, deep down in her spirit. And it might be tonight, deep down in your spirit, you know that you've never been saved. But there's a desire there to get things right. There's a desire there to, you hear the truth for the first time. You see, Paul was speaking the truth. Truth always sets us free, doesn't it? He spoke the truth, and Lydia, God opened her heart to let her see, hey, he's talking to you. Even though you're prosperous, even though you're well thought of in the city, even though you do all the right things, you're not saved. And she had that desire in her spirit, that when he spoke the truth, she knew it was truth. You see, grace is, say you're drowning, because you are. If you're here tonight and you're without Christ, you're drowning in sin, okay? You're drowning, you're dying, you're on your way to a lost eternity, because that's what Lydia was. But grace is simply God throwing out the rescue rope to you in your drowning. Now, that's the divine side. God's throwing out the rope. Faith is reaching out and taking hold of that rope, that grace that God gives you, that God is throwing to you tonight. Faith is reaching out and taking hold of that. And that's what she did. In her heart, she had a desire. In her heart, she had a longing to know God. And when the word of truth came, she had an overflowing heart. And she reached out by faith and took that word. I know it was the overflowing heart, because the Bible says in verse 15, she begged them to come to her house. She wanted to hear more of the gospel. I tell you what, friends, when somebody gets saved, you don't have to make them come to church. When you really get saved, when God really set you on fire in your heart, when you really know him in the fullness of his grace, when you, I'd say like I said this morning, when you really love him, I'm not going to have to come beat on your door time after time. You know, I've got people that the only way they come to church is if I go and knock on their door and say, hey, when are you going to come back to church? We've been missing you. Oh, they'll show up and they'll come for maybe two or three Sundays, and then they're gone again. You see? When you're really set on fire for God, when you really love God, I'm not going to have to beg you to come. I think that's the way revival will break out in your life. When you really get on fire for God, you're going to desire to have all of God you can. Look at verse 15. And when she and her household were baptized. Now, wait a minute. She was baptized. Folks, I think, I said this morning, I think it is an important part. Baptism does not save you. But when someone is saved, when someone loves God, it ought to be a desire to be obedient to God's command, you see. And you ought to have a desire to be baptized. Now, if baptism doesn't save you, why? Well, I think it's an outward testimony of your life, of an inward experience in your life of Jesus Christ coming in. Now, Lydia wanted to be baptized. She had that desire to be obedient to God and follow through. Matter of fact, if you read the scriptures, you find when the people were saved, they wanted to be baptized. You see? The Ethiopian eunuch, what hinders me to be baptized? You see? They wanted to be baptized. Well, maybe you're here this evening, and God is speaking to your heart, and you have a desire in your heart. Man, I want to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. And the Spirit is moving in your heart right now, telling you, hey, the preacher's talking to me. It ain't the preacher, it's the Holy Spirit, you see. The Spirit's talking to me. The Spirit is opening the Word of Truth up and saying, you've got a heart opportune time right now to come to Jesus Christ. And God, by His grace, is reaching out to you, and you need to reach out by faith and take hold of that rope and let Him pull you in. Let Him pull you to safety. Maybe you're here with a tender heart. I don't know, but that music stirred my heart. Maybe the music stirred your heart tonight. You're saying, you know what? I am facing a lot of problems. I am facing a lot of trials. Jesus is the answer. The Word has touched you. And the Holy Spirit is drawing you to make a decision tonight, just like Lydia, by faith to come to Christ. But you know, that's not the only testimony I see here in this verse. Look at verse 16. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl. Here's a slave girl. She's possessed with a spirit of the devil. And her masters are profiting by her demon possession. Well, let me tell you. She's got a tormented heart, folks. I like to think of Lydia having an opportune heart, but this woman's got a tormented heart. A young girl, tormented in her heart. In other words, she's lost without Christ. She's down and she's out. And the gospel tells me that the Bible appeals not only to those like Lydia, that's high in society, but those that are down and out in society. And that's why I just love the gospel, folks. I love the gospel of the Bible. I love knowing that Jesus, He ministers to every single one of us. It doesn't matter who you are tonight. It doesn't matter what you have tonight. It doesn't matter what your thoughts are tonight. Jesus Christ comes and He ministers to you at the point of your need tonight. Maybe you're like this young girl, you're tormented. Tormented don't have to be demon-possessed. She was demon-possessed, but tormented don't have to be just demon-possessed. You're tormented by the things of life in your heart. Jesus can meet your need. Matter of fact, He's the only one can meet your need. He's the only one that can get you through something like cancer. He's the only one that can make it real in your life to know that you have a peace that no matter what comes, Jesus Christ is still Lord. Well, here's a slave girl. Paul approaches her, slavery. Slavery and demon possession, he speaks of as a deep spiritual sin in her life. She is possessed by the devil. She has actually sold her soul to the devil, and she had turned her life over to living on the dark side. Now that's pretty far gone, isn't it? I hear people say, well, you know, I've heard people say, I'm part of Wicca. I'm a witch. Well, I once thought, well, you may look like a witch, but you're not a witch, you know? Can you imagine how tormented those people really are? Sold out to the devil. Living in the torment. Well, this is what this young girl was. Let me tell you. We find in the Word of God here that she followed Paul around. saying things and tormenting him and crying out. Listen to what she says. This girl followed Paul and us, and she cried out, verse 17, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." She knew who they were, didn't they? She knew who the Most High God was. And this she did for many days. Can you imagine following Paul around for days after days, crying out this, annoying him? And finally he turned to her and said, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. Well, Jesus, again, is the only one that can heal a tormented spirit. And let me say tonight, I don't know who you are, but if you're here tonight and you've got a problem, you're wondering how to face that problem, whether it's financial, whether it's marriage, whether it's, I don't know what all you might be into. Jesus Christ can help you. I can't help you, but Jesus Christ can. And if you'll let Jesus Christ, he will help you. Now listen, the best way to get the demons out of your life is to get Jesus Christ in your life. That's the best way I know how to get all the demons out of your life. Well, let me tell you something. When the demons come out of your life and Jesus comes in your life, I don't want you to think that everything's going to be fine. It's not going to be perfectly fine. It'll be great in the end. But let me tell you, you're still going to have some troubles. But the more you turn to Jesus, the more you'll see his grace is sufficient for all you need. Well, let me go on through this story. I just want to go through this, chapter 16. Here it is. This upset the people that were making money off of this girl. It always upsets, seemed like, the money people. And now when God comes to town, guess what? He always causes a stir. You get this church on fire for God. You get our churches in Gun Barrel City on fire for God. And guess what? The people that don't know God are going to get upset. They're going to wonder what's going on. But let me tell you, Jesus Christ can turn all that around because he affects the way people live in their life. Well, Paul, every time he went to a city, either created a revival, somebody said, or a riot. And sometimes it was both. A revival took place and a riot took place. But every time Jesus Christ comes, there's a blessing in life. So we see that God wants to turn those tender hearts toward Jesus Christ. And God will also take those tormented hearts and turn to Jesus Christ. That's two testimonies that we find here in the Scripture. Everywhere we find God, he's moving in people's lives. Everywhere you find him. Look on down and you'll remember this. I hope you'll remember this. Because that's what I want you to learn as we just go through these chapters. I want you to know each chapter and what it's talking about. And if the best way I know to tell you to remember this is about testimonies. How God can take a soft heart, the spirit-led heart, and turn it to God. How he can turn a tormented heart to God. And how he can turn a tough heart to God. A tough heart. The last part of this passage of Scripture, we find Paul and Silas thrown into prison. Now let me tell you something. What happens is they're preaching the Word of God. The people don't like it. So naturally they want them thrown into prison. They have them thrown into prison. There's a Philippian jailer there. This Philippian jailer is not just some chief of police that's going to be nice to you and lock the key and put you in a nice cell. This Philippian jailer is a tough man. He is a tough dude. He beats them. He's unkind to them. He not only just throws them in the prison, he throws them in the inner prison, down deep inside. There's no mercy this guy has for anybody. That's the kind of person Paul was dealing with. That's the kind of toughness of his heart. Here Paul is. I just imagine he's been whipped. His back is bloody. He's had nothing to eat. Probably hadn't anything to drink. He's thirsty. It's dark. It's smelly. He's in a deep dungeon. But right there in the middle of all that darkness, guess what? God is in the midst of the crisis. And the Paul and Silas, the story is, they're singing and praising God at midnight. Can you imagine that? Where would you be tonight if someone come in here and told you can't worship God? Someone come in here and say, well, listen, y'all going to have to go to jail. We're going to throw you down in the innermost dark prison. We're going to beat you. You're not to speak about Christ anymore. Would you be down in the midnight hour singing praises to God, giving glory to God and all of that? Let me tell you, that gets your attention, don't it? Well, listen, the Christian life is a tough life. The world doesn't like you. The devil doesn't like you. And don't assume that since you're going through some heartaches and troubles and trials, you're going to be blessed. You're not going to be blessed by God. Because listen, if you are going through those trials and you start singing praises out of your heart to God, He can turn those problems into a blessing. Now here's what you see. I can hear them singing right now. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Learned to trust in Him. Through it all, I can't sing that high. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon God's Word. Folks, that's what we need to sing as Christians tonight. No matter what we're going through, God is there. We can depend on Him. We can trust Him with our lives. I kind of believe that's what Paul and Silas were singing as they were praising God down there in that deep, dark dungeon. You know why? Because God heard their prayers. They were praying and they were singing praises to God. Nothing causes an earthquake like praising and singing praises to God. An earthquake happened. Their chains fell off. They looked down and they were loose, and they looked up and the doors were open. Man, that'll get your attention, won't it? So they took off and rushed out of there and stormed everybody else out and got away. No, that's not it. The Bible says the jailer, supposing that all the prisoners has escaped, he's going to kill himself because it meant his life. If they let someone escape, they usually kill the jailer. Well, as he's about to kill himself, the Bible says, Paul says, hey, don't hurt yourself. We're still all here. Now, what a testimony. What a testimony to a tough, mean jailer who had whipped them, who had beat them, who had put them in the innermost part of the prison and probably thrown away the key. Paul says, don't hurt yourself. Even though we could have escaped, we didn't do that. And we don't want you to hurt yourself. And you know what happens to a tough heart? Let me tell you. I've heard old boys tell me, you know, God can't save me. I've been too bad. God can break those tough hearts. That's what He does, isn't it? God is in the business of saving souls. And it doesn't matter who you are tonight, how tough you think you may be. The Bible says God can touch you and break your heart for Christ. Here is a tough man. And you know what he says? He says, what must I do, Paul, to be saved? You see, he wants to be saved now. And you know what Paul says? Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Trust Christ. Invite Him into your heart. And that's what happened. He invited him into his heart, and the Bible says he was saved. So, a tough heart, being saved. Not only that, he invited him to go home to him, and his household was saved. You see, God knows that way down in your tough old heart, you're like a little child. I was witnessing to an old man one time, and he was a tough old fella. And he gave me every reason in the world why he couldn't be saved. Until I read the scripture, the 23rd Psalm. And when I read that scripture, you know, I don't even know why I read it. But as I quoted the 23rd Psalm to him, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And on down through the passage of scripture I quoted to him, tears become in his eyes. And you know, I've seen more people cry when they read the 23rd Psalm than any other psalm. I don't know why, but I kind of got a feeling back when they were kids, somewhere when they was children, they heard that passage of scripture. How many of you heard it when you was a kid? And you never forgot it, did you? I've heard it read at funerals when Papa or Mama has passed away. And I've seen those old tough boys and girls stand around their mama's grave. They never went to church. They never did this. They didn't want to have anything to do with God. But when the pastor read that scripture, they said, "Read the 23rd Psalm. That was Mama's favorite, or that was Papa's favorite." And when they read that, they listened to it. And I believe when you quote that passage of scripture, what does it do? It brings back into your mind that those teachings of God. Oh, yes, preacher, we used to go to church when we were kids. And I think of that passage of scripture. Bring up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets old, he will not depart from it. And I think the Holy Spirit moves in those old tough hearts when they hear that, and those hearts become like mush, like a little child. And all the toughness and all the front that they're putting on just seems to fade away. And I believe that old Philippian jailer, I believe somewhere down the line, he saw Jesus Christ in action. And he saw a man here named Paul, and he saw a young man named Silas. Instead of doing like everyone else, they were praising God. And that toughness just went away. And he probably said in his life, "I don't know what these guys got, but I want some of it." And he said, "What must I do to be saved?" Verse 33. And he took them the same hour. That just speaks to my heart. He took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Can you imagine some tough old guy like that? And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Folks, salvation comes to him and into his family. And they all wanted to be part of God's family. I don't care tonight, maybe you're here. And through these testimonies, you've got a tender heart. You've been wanting to come to Jesus Christ for some time. You've been going to church for some time. And you've just said, I can't do that. But tonight, the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart through Lydia and says, "Yes, you can. All you have to do is reach out and grab hold to the grace of God. By faith, trusting Him." Maybe you're like this little girl and you're tormented with something in your life. All you have to do is reach out and grab hold to God, and He will take you. Maybe you're like this old tough Philippian jailer. All you have to do tonight, the Bible says, is call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Are you here tonight and you want to do that? All you have to do is come. Every one of us need Jesus in our life. He's all that we need. Are you living for Him? Maybe you're here tonight and you're saved, but you're not living for Him. You know, I've noticed our Sunday night crowd's growing. I've noticed our Sunday morning crowd's growing. Friends, I believe God is moving in this church. Are you part of that movement? If not, get right with God. Get your life in line with God, and He will bless you in a mighty way. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You tonight for these that are here. Lord, we've got people here that's visiting with us. Lord, we've got members that are here. But it doesn't matter. We've all come together to learn your word. We've all come together and we've heard that the Holy Spirit is the only one that can move into our heart. And Lord, if the Holy Spirit is moving in our heart, whether we're a member or a guest or whatever, Lord, may we realize that, and may we not push it aside, but reach out and take hold of the moment and let you come into our life and do that work of grace that you want to do. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.